Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and just totally be glad therein. And I pray that your day is just abounding in the blessings of the Lord, abounding in his peace, abounding in his grace, abounding in his love, and just lavishing in all that God has for you today. Truly, I know that there are trying times for the precious saints throughout the world and things, but I come to encourage your heart on today just to hold fast and look to the hill from which cometh your help. Your help come from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. And God, he's still yet on the throne, and he's still yet working in and on the behalf of his people. So be encouraged and just know that God is going to see you through and going to bless you as never before. So on that note, I would like just to invite you just to come right on in home here at Helen Arms and my Ministry of Empowerment. We want you to be blessed. And let's just take a moment even now, and I just feel it in the spirit realm, just to bind the forces of darkness and bind everything in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost that will come up against this very own lesson today, and those that would listen to it, we bind the forces of darkness, and we call clear reception, we call clarity of the words to flow like honey, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we expel the adversary and every one of his work in the name of Jesus. Let your people receive every piece of what you have to say to them through this word today. And Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I have a wonderful lesson on today. We're going to be talking about the gospel message to the Gentiles. And this is one of the messages that came from the book of Acts. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 38. And then we're going to look at verse 42 to 48. Truly, God is great and he's greatly to be praised. Let's look at the focus up. Now, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it brings conviction and salvation when preached to those who hunger for God. Now, in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 38, it reads on this line. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. For the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, yea, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, killing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, let's take a look at verses 42 through verse 48. And that scripture reads on this line. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believed in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now let's look a little at verses which we will kind of focus on today, verses 45 through 46. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. Now let's take a look here at the reading of the word and our lesson for today. Now, raising up early, which was the customary military discipline, this commander of the troops initiated his day with spiritual training. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, overseer of hundreds of soldiers, but daily he engaged them in the Lord's prayer. This devout man and his household feared God and gave generously to others. Cornelius possessed a heart that hungered after God. Although he was a Gentile and a member of the army which crucified the Lord, God honored his spiritual hunger. God sent the apostle Peter, to whom Jesus had personally given the key to the kingdom, to Cornelius' house. Cornelius' systematic devotion to the Lord resulted in his home being chosen as a place of power from which the Lord would project the gospel message to the Gentile. As on the day of Pentecost, when the Jews received the Holy Ghost as evidenced by the speaking with other tongues, so the Gentiles began to receive this heavenly gift in the home of Cornelius. Though Peter was surprised to observe the Gentiles speaking with other tongues, still he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Cornelius' devotion provided a gateway for salvation to flow through the Jewish population to the rest of the world. And because of his devotion unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us look further. Now for salvation came to the Gentiles. God had to find a willing and dedicated individual to proclaim and to receive the gospel. And he's still yet looking for willing and dedicated individuals who are willing to proclaim the gospel as well as to even receive it. Now, Peter, a Jewish apostle, and Cornelius, a Roman officer, characterized godly men with vision. God always searched for people with vision to expand their purpose and expand his purpose, God's purpose. Peter received his vision, his mission in a vision, and Cornelius received his orders from an angel in a vision. Now, these two great men were both visionaries who also received the divine vision from heaven and responded to it. Now, this miraculous account of the gospel message spreading to the Gentile population through the influences of Cornelius, the Apostle Peter graphically illustrated many significant truths. One point of truth is that God honors people with spiritual hunger, whether they be Jews or Gentiles. Another truth vividly illustrates in this account is that God is no respecter of person. Peter's message gave an eyewitness account to the fact that Jesus is the living word. Moreover, the Gentile received the Holy Ghost in the same way as the Jews by the outward evidence of speaking with tongues. Now, further, God honored a hungry heart. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, Cornelius' lifestyle epitomized Matthew 6, 5, and 6. His God-fearing action demonstrated an appetite for the ways of God. Cornelius' prayers and alms built a memorial before the Lord day after day. The Lord satisfied his extreme craving for that which was his righteous with salvation experience. God honors a hungry heart. He will not turn away from those who, by faith, seek him. Now let's look further into the word of the Lord, the action of Cornelius towards God. Now, Cornelius' life is characterized forever in Scripture as that of devotion to the Lord in prayer and giving. Not only did he engage in these spiritual disciplines himself, but he also led his household to fear and venerate God. The Scripture revealed that he gave much alms and faithfully prayed to God. See Acts 10 and 2. Now, Cornelius' spiritual life far exceeded average. His measure of giving exposed his generous heart. He felt no compulsion to hoard worldly wealth. In like fashion, generous giving should be a common characteristic of all of God's people. The book of Acts recorded a profound and powerful statement that Cornelius prayed to God always, which reflected the committed life. The Apostle Paul later urged the Thessalonian Christians to exhibit the same kind of commitment to prayer. Pray without ceasing. And you'll find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17. This indicated one who continued consistently and daily commune with the Lord Jesus Christ. Cornelius consistently maintained a strong relationship with God for himself and for his family. This created a memorial in heaven that could not be unnoticed. Now let's further look. The acceptance of Cornelius by God. Cornelius engaged in prayer at about 3:08 p.m. in the afternoon or the ninth hour of the day. Devoted people in his day regularly engaged in prayer about this time, for it corresponded with to the time of evening sacrifice offered in the temple. Now, an angel presented himself to Cornelius. It was not a dream, but a vision seen by Cornelius with full consciousness. Fear of an authoritative and divine creature struck Cornelius. His fear displayed his proper respect for authority. Those who respected authority maintained an acute awareness of the power embodied by those who supervised them. His respect for authority also provided Cornelius with authority to be a leader of men. Now, the best leader became great by being great followers. One can easily measure his respect for authority by measuring his submission to his parents, his submission to his employer, his submission to even the government and the church. Now, let's look further. In order to be a Roman centurion, Cornelius had to demonstrate submission to the government and the employer. When the Lord looked for a vessel to use, he looked submissive that vessel. Even the murderous Saul became the submissive apostle Paul when he discovered the Lord's true identity. The angel addressed Cornelius by name and specifically cited his memorial of prayer and alms. With all due respect, Cornelius immediately asked for the intent of the commanders-in-chief. What is it, Lord? In Acts 9, Paul asked a similar question. Who art thou, Lord? Great leaders immediately asked relevant and pertinent questions so they may accomplish their mission without delay. The angel's response to Cornelius was an acknowledgement of God's observation of his spiritual hunger and discipline. Now let's further look at God giving this instruction to Cornelius. Now, the angel did not preach the gospel to Cornelius. This privilege is reserved for mankind. How did they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10 and 14. Now, God gave specific instruction to Cornelius. He told him who to call, where to find him, and how to get him. God knows how to orchestrate a salvation experience. He knows who is open to the gospel and how to communicate to them and who was sent with the message of salvation. He prepared the way with no deficiencies. Now, the angel proclaimed to Cornelius with full confidence, "He shall tell thee what thou ought to do." The angel made his proclamation before Peter had received his vision of salvation for the Gentiles. This speaks of both God's foreknowledge as well as the confidence that he placed in his ministers. God's instruction to Cornelius centered on calling a specific preacher for a specific task. Now let's look further. We look at God's instruction that he'd given unto Cornelius. Now let's look at not only of Cornelius receiving the instruction, but let's look at another aspect, and that aspect is Cornelius' obedience to God. Now, Cornelius wasted no time in charging his most trusted servant with eternal mission to find that preacher and bring him at once. He immediately sent him to Joppa. Now, when God instructed Jonah to preach to the Gentile at Nineveh, he went to Joppa. Now that time had come to preach the gospel to the Gentile, Cornelius sent men to find the selected preacher in Joppa. And Joppa is the port where the cedar of Lebanon were sent for constructing Solomon's temple. Although Solomon's temple had long been destroyed, he would preach the fulfillment of the Holy of Holies to the Gentiles resided at Joppa. Now let us look further. Peter's message fulfilled Genesis 12 and 3. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. God directed his promise to Abraham beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. The New Testament fulfillment of this promise came without the outpouring of his spirit on the Gentiles. Beginning at Cornelius' house, Peter began his message by informing them that God is no respecter of person, whether Jew or Gentile. Now, Peter also preached that Jesus is the living word and that witnesses saw and declared him. Prophets from the Old Testament witnessed concerning his coming. Peter's message to the Gentile in Cornelius' house marked a pivotal point in the biblical history whereby salvation was officially launched for all nations of the earth. Now let us look further, because God is no respecter of person. An incredible turn of events, sovereign acts of prophecy, visions, and miracles, and changing attitude converged to bring about a forbidden visitation of Peter and the Jews with him to the household of Cornelius, a Gentile. Peter boldly declared, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person." Acts 10 and 34. Now, God made himself fully available to those formerly regulated by the Jews to an outsider standards or statutes. Although the Old Testament scriptures were repleted with references to salvation for the Gentile, many Jews never understood that God's grand plan of salvation was for all mankind. God dealt salvation first to the Jews, but never did he intend it to limit his work of redemption to them only. Now, in the eyes of God, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. For all are one in Jesus Christ, Gentiles, and you can see Galatians 3:28. And that God is truly no respecter of person. And we must recognize that, that he is no respecter of person. Now let's take a look further at Jesus being the living word. The scripture over in John 1:1 say, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John 1:14 state, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. Revelation 19:13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is the living word. He is both the word made flesh, and he is the focal point of the scripture. God's plan through the age has pointed to Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Now let's take a look at Jesus is the Prince of Peace and Lord of all. Verse 36. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. The gospel of Jesus Christ provides the incredible opportunity for believers to maintain freedom from anxiety, agitation in the midst of turmoil and strife in this life. Much like the claim in the eyes of a hurricane, peace can prevail for the one who receives and obeys the gospel of Christ. Now, peace can prevail in a person's soul and spirit. Supernatural peace can transform the angriest murderers into the gentlest servants of mankind. The gospel of peace can change the most troubled trafficker of human depravity into a humble servant for the cause of human dignity and respect. Peace can reshape a drunken and abusive husband into one whose very presence of being calm and tranquil, and illustrate the very picture of sobriety and kindness through that word of God. It can transform a life into the life in which God is seeking to be. Now let's further look at the message of Jesus published from Galilee throughout Judea, and we see that in verse 37. The message of Jesus Christ was published throughout all Judea. It began at Galilee and quickly spread like an uncontrollable fire across the globe. The early church set a staggering precedent by preaching to their known world, and the message revolutionized the humanity forever. Jesus set an example for his church of ministering to the masses. Even when Jesus tried to find rest and solitude, the crowd found him. Just prior to his ascension, Jesus commissioned the apostles to reach out and to evangelize the othermost part of the earth. The apostles sent missionaries. Paul evangelized the Roman Empire, and history is replete with documentation of the international missionary effort of the church. The apostle Paul missionary accomplishment in Roman Empire illustrates God's sovereign hand in ensuing the spread of the gospel. Probably to no other time in history has afforded such a ripe opportunity to spread the gospel to the known world. Romans offered freedom of transportation and a standardized language and economic clout and political and military stability conducive to the transmission of a message. The phenomenal backdrop led the most staggering religious and social revolution that the world has ever known. Now, Jesus was anointed of God, verse 38. Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one, The symbol of his special anointing came at his baptism when the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Matthew 3:16. Now, person or things were anointed in the Old Testament to signify holiness and separation unto God. Anointing was metaphorically to mean divine bestowal of favor or an appointment to a special function or purpose. Jesus was anointed to be the Messiah. Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ was the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David, the hope of Israel, the root, the offspring of Jesus. He was the Old Testament Messiah and the New Testament Christ. He was the anointed with power to do good and to heal all who were oppressed of the devil. Moreover, he was anointed to seek and to save that which was lost, to deliver mankind from the strongholds of sin. Now let's look at the living witness, another aspect of what we're talking about, the gospel, the message being sent to the Gentiles. Living witnesses. Peter did not go to Cornelius as one distributing strange theological theories or ideologies of others. The Roman Empire was filled with strange groups that prompted every type of unusual spiritual and religious idea one could possibly imagine. But Peter was an eyewitness of the words, deeds, and action and miracles of Jesus Christ himself. That they crucified Jesus, verse 39. Peter was an eyewitness of the crucifixion of Jesus. Although Roman soldiers commonly crucified criminals, this particular crucifixion merited noteworthy consideration, for it was different. Jesus was no criminal. The crucifixion of Jesus was a climactic event that helped to reshape every aspect of history. The crucifixion provided the sinless sacrifice that would forever turn the table on death, hell, and the grave. Because of the crucifixion, the door of spiritual freedom soon will burst open to all mankind. No longer would oppression have the upper hand for anybody willing to put his or her faith in Jesus Christ and the atoning death on the cross. In the crucifixion of Jesus, Peter witnessed leaders called for Christ's death and caused the embodiment of righteousness to be nailed to a criminal cross. He witnessed the unjust political possession of the day. But this sovereign interaction of divine righteousness, corrupted religion, and unjust political process produced a spiritual reaction that forever changed the world for good. Peter watched as the sinless Lamb of God was slain instead of sinners. The crucifixion paid the price for man's salvation and prepared the way for the resurrection. Now, that God raised Jesus up. Jesus Christ did not remain in the tomb. After 3 days and nights, he was resurrected from the dead. The resurrection fulfilled the things written concerning Jesus in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Christ suffered for the sins of mankind, and with his death, he paid the ultimate price for our redemption. He arose victorious over death so that through him, we too may have victory over sin and death. God's ultimate purpose for mankind is predicated upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Christ was not risen, the preaching of the gospel would be in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:14. Moreover, Christian faith itself could be ineffective and all people will remain hopelessly lost in their sin without resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:17. Because Jesus is risen, we have hope beyond this life. And we have the opportunity to enjoy abundant life. See 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. That many saw Jesus alive, verse number 41. And that reads on this line, from that scripture, we get the mighty works wrought through the resurrection is no secret. For many witnessed Jesus Christ alive and well. He showed himself to be disciplined and gave them the great commission. Moreover, he charged them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. Some of the eyewitness account of the resurrected Christ included his early morning appearance to those two women, Mary and Joanna, Luke 24 and 10. His appearance to the two men on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24 and 15. His appearance to the 11th disciple, Luke 24 and 36. His appearance to the disciple at the Sea of Tiberias, John 21. And many other appearances during the following 40 days, Acts 1 and 3. In 1 Corinthians 15, 5 through 8. The Apostle Paul also elaborated on many of the post-resurrection appearances of Christ. It is no secret. Jesus lives. Now let's look at another point. Commanded to preach and testify. Jesus emphasized the mission of the church just before his ascension into heaven. All three of the synoptic gospels recorded the Great Commission in their unique way. The book of Acts also recorded his commissioning of the disciples, Acts 1 through 8, 1 and verse number 8. But ye shall power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto both me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Just before one is about to depart in death or a long journey, he also often addressed his heart, that which is the dearest and the most important to him. So it is with Christ. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he commissioned to preach and testify of the gospel event and salvation. Moreover, all Christians are responsible to proclaim the salvation message of Jesus Christ. Now let's look further. The message and conclusion. Peter very simply concluded his message to Cornelius and his household by stating that the prophet gave witness of Jesus Christ, that through his name is forgiveness of sin, Acts chapter 10, verse 43. Peter emphasized that this incredible story did not happen in a vacuum. Jesus' death, burial and resurrection and ministry were prophesied, recorded throughout Jewish history, and is expected. His life and the purpose fulfilled the expectation of Moses, the Psalms, and all the prophets of old. Jesus is the purpose, plan, and fulfillment of all righteousness. Even more incredible is that through his sacrificial life, his death and resurrection, there is forgiveness of sin available to those who receive him and obey his message. Now, let us look further. And before we even look further, I want to stop because so many people, and it's very amazing of people, are looking beyond the gospel and not willing to turn back to the gospel and look into the gospel, which the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for us. And our prayer is that they will turn their heart and receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has for us, even through the gospel and things, and as God will open up their understanding. Now, let us look further. The result of the message, the outpoured spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who hear the preached word before Peter concluded his remarks. The entire gathering area became one large altar of prayer. It is interesting that the Spirit just came upon them. There was no coercion or orchestration of group dynamics. teacher simply preached the word, and God inhabited the faith of the people as they responded to the preaching of the gospel. Now, let's take a note of that. It is through faith. It's through the people's faith, faith in the response to the word of God. And God is looking for us as we respond by faith through the preaching and the teaching of his word, not debating at the word, not trying to cause the word as to be a place of heated debate and arguments and dialogue. But those who have faith, just pure faith, and just purely trusting in God and hungry and thirsting after God's righteousness and to hear from the Lord and be open and willing to receive from the Lord. Nobody had to coach or coerce the people to receive the Spirit. The outpouring of the Spirit revealed to all the sovereign work of God. The Spirit very simply fell on all who heard the word and whose hearts was open to receive it. It fell on good ground. And so we must recognize that and understand what God is doing in and through the lives of his people. If you would just open your heart and receive God, sincerely go after God, not debating, but God himself. And God will reveal himself unto you in and through his word. Now, the outward sign, Acts 10:44-46. While Peter yet spoke those words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, the book of Acts recorded a repeated precedent of the tongue accompanying the outpour of the Holy Ghost. The Jewish believer knew the Gentile had received the same experience as they received, but they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Speaking with tongue is the initial evidence of one receiving the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That speaking with tongue is the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost indicates at least two significant dynamics of obedient faith. It indicates, one, that one has truly given lordship over to the Lord Jesus Christ as his Spirit speaks through the most unruly members of his body. And you read that over in James 3:8. Number two, the second point. Since the mouth speaks from the abundance of the heart, Matthew 12:34, speaking with tongues as the initial evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost indicates the surrender of one's heart to God. So here you have the two evidence in things, one's heart being over unto God. And then two, as giving their life over and allowing Jesus Christ to have lordship over their life. Now let's look at another, the outward step of obedience. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, Acts 10:4. It is noteworthy that Peter commanded them to be baptized. It's not a suggestion of what they might consider doing, but an emphatic declaration of what they needed to do to be saved. The Lord had performed a supernatural act by filling them with his Spirit. It was appropriate for them to respond by obeying the New Testament command to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Offering oneself in New Testament water baptism fulfills several significant principles of salvation. Baptism by immersion in water identified the candidate for salvation with Christ's death and created a setting for one to arise into the newness of life as they come up out of the water. It is with when it is joined with the repentance of one's sin, water baptism by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ enacts the forgiveness and the pardon of one's sin. Baptism by immersion in water demonstrate a person's submission in those in spiritual authority. Water baptism in the name of Jesus indicate a person's submission to the Word of God as they begin their new life in Christ. Now, let us take a moment and go back over what we just looked at and just what we just talked about. We came from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 to 38, and verses number 42 through 48. And we talked about the message, the gospel message to the Gentile. And we talked about Cornelius and Peter and how God used these men. And Cornelius, who faithfully gave alms unto the Lord and also had personal devotion with God. And so God seen Cornelius' heart, and Cornelius became the door unto the Gentile, the opening of the door to the Gentile where the gospel was being able to be preached unto the Gentile. And so we seen here that how God honored a hungry heart. And we looked at Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 6, where the scripture said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We also looked at how God honors a hungry heart, and he will not turn away from those who by faith seek after him. And there are many people who are seeking the Lord and going to be found of him because they are seeking sincerely with their whole heart, mind, and soul. Now, the action of Cornelius towards God was very profound because Cornelius' life was characterized forever in the scripture as that of devotion to the Lord in prayer as well in giving. And so we further looked at the acceptance of Cornelius by God, that an angel presented himself to Cornelius as a form of God's acceptance to him. It was not a dream, but a vision seen by Cornelius with full consciousness. And the fear of the authoritative and divine creature struck Cornelius, and his fear displayed his proper respect for the authority. And so here, Cornelius was received and accepted by God, and we talked about that. Then we went on to look at God's instruction to Cornelius, that God gave him specific instruction. And so it is, as one begins to seek God with their whole heart and mind and soul, God will begin to give you instruction and begin to lay things down in your heart. Now, Cornelius' obedience to God, Cornelius wasted no time in charging his most trusted servant with eternal mission to find the preacher and bring him at once. And so out of that, he began to obey what God showed him to do. And so Peter brought forth the message unto Cornelius and began to tell him that God was no respecter of person. And he began to expound, Peter began to expound on him, to Cornelius, that Jesus was and is the living word. And he began to share with him. And we began to look at the various aspects that Jesus is the living word. Both he was both made the word, made flesh, and that he was the focal point of the scriptures. And that God's plan through the ages has always pointed to Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And so we begin to talk about Jesus being the Prince of Peace and Lord of all, and that the message of Jesus published from Galilee was throughout all Judea, as well as Jesus was appointed of God, as well as the living witness and witnesses that he had who witnessed that they crucified Jesus and that Jesus was raised up again. And that many that saw Jesus alive, and he commanded them to preach and to testify of that which they have seen. And he commissioned them to go and to do what he had called them to do. And the result of their obedience after being commissioned was the outpour of the Spirit and the outward signs and wonder and the outward step of obedience. All these things took place because of their obedience unto the will of God. And such as it is with us as children of God, as we obey God and as God begin to lay it in our hearts, as we seek God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, he said he will be found of us because we are seeking him with our whole heart, mind, and soul. And we must recognize that God will honor the spiritual hunger of a person's heart. And the person, no matter the race, their color, their social status, no matter, it does not matter to God. Jesus came to seek and to save all, whosoever they may be, from whoever they may come. Cornelius displayed the ultimate dedication to God, but he was a Gentile. The Jewish believers of his day did not understand that God had a spiritual experience of salvation in mind for the Gentiles, such as he. Still, God sent Peter to Cornelius on a mission that will conclude in opening the door of the gospel to the Gentiles. It is no wonder God chose to send men with the keys to the kingdom of God. God intended to unlock a door. Indeed, those in Cornelius' house received the Holy Ghost just as the Jewish believers did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Now, the undeniable sovereignty of God leaps in every verse of this exciting account in the scripture. The preaching of the gospel of the Jesus Christ brought conviction and salvation when preached to those who hungered for God. It happened for the Jews, and it happened for the Gentile. Moreover, it still happens today when people have a spiritual hunger for God and his kingdom. It is key for us as children of God and as people of God, as we hunger and thirst after righteousness and after the things of God. God said we shall be filled. And God will fill us with his righteousness, with revelation, with understanding of what his word is actually saying unto us and things as people of God and things. And so God will greatly, greatly bless us in a mighty and a special way and things, because it is his desires to bless us and things. And to open up our understanding. And so as we continue to seek him and as we continue to go after him, and he will open our understanding and things as we continue to follow on and to seek after him. God is going to open our understanding and give us revelation. He even said, the scripture said that we even prophesy in part. That means that God has given us a part of him, and of that divine utterance and that divine inspiration. But God is still yet is going to open up our understanding because we're hungry and we're seeking after him to give us greater understanding of what he is speaking to us in and through the word of God. And so let us look further on today as we continue on to gain a better understanding of what God is speaking unto the hearts and the mind of his people. He said he will bless them which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Are you thirsting? The question should be, am I thirsting after righteousness, God's righteousness? Am I thirsting after a debate? Am I thirsting after my own opinion and my own interpretation to see if I'm right or if I'm wrong? And these are questions that we must ask ourselves. Am I really truly seeking after God's righteousness and things Or am I seeking, or have I examined my motive? Have I examined my own heart? Have I given time to really look at why am I doing this? Am I doing it because God called me? Am I doing it because God commissioned me? Or am I doing it because I want to prove a point and things? So when we begin to examine our hearts, am I thirsting after God's righteousness, or am I thirsting after a debate? Am I thirsting after a good story to prove them wrong? Or am I thirsting after being all that God wants me to be? In my heart, in my mind, in my soul, in my spirit, am I thirsty after God's righteousness? You know, the devil is still using the same scripture, the same tactic that he did with Eve over in the garden when he began to trick her and things and saying, you surely won't die if you eat of that tree. And he's still yet posing the question into the mind of people. And that's why the question that I leave with you today would be, am I thirsting after God's righteousness to be in right standing with God with my whole heart and mind? And if you are at that place, you're at a good place, because that's where God said over in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, so they shall be filled. According to the scripture, according to the word of God, you shall be filled. But are you? And then on the other hand, for those that are not really seeking and searching for the righteousness of God, but searching for a debate or searching to prove others wrong, or searching to prove your own story or your own principle or your own mindset or your own interpretation, I would like to encourage you to seek God with your whole heart and mind and seek his righteousness, and you will be filled with his righteousness as with his revelation, with his understanding, and with his word and things. And as we examine our hearts and examine our minds, because the gospel, as we see, it is for all, whosoever will. The scripture said, let them come, whosoever will, let them come. And so Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that fear him and work is righteous is accepted with him. And that's what I would like to leave with us on today. As we examine our hearts, that are we fearing God? Are we working in righteousness? Are we seeking God with our whole heart, mind, and soul? For the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, yea, no, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which Jesus preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, whom he went doing good and healing all that was oppressed with the devil, for God was with him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson on today. We thank you, O God, that it would bring understanding and stir a hunger, Father, that they would thirst and desire after your righteousness as we bind the forces of darkness and plead the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Lord, let your will be done. And let your kingdom come. And Father, we appraise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. And Father, we thank you and we glorify your name and we give you glory and honor and praise, because God, He is a righteous Savior. He is the Holy One of Israel. And Father, we praise your blessed name and give you all the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. Truly, we do thank and praise the Lord for you being with us on today. And we encourage you, if you want to go back and read the scriptures, go back and read Acts chapter 10. Go back and further your studies in Romans chapter 10 and 14. Also Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 6. As well as just reading the whole book of Acts. And God will tremendously bless you and tremendously undergird you and fortify you and strengthen you. Father, we again just want to say that we thank God for each and every one of our listeners on today and pray that you will be continually blessed as you further to seek after righteousness and continue the hunger and thirst of righteousness. And God is going to fill every one of your yearning in your heart as you seek God with a pure and a true heart. He said, you shall be filled. And watch God fill you and fill your heart with his righteousness. My prayer is with you that God will continue to bless you, to continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth and forevermore in and through and with you as never before. God is going to bless you, and he's going to quicken you and undergird you because of your faithfulness and your hunger and your thirst to please him and to know and to learn of him. God said he will be found of you. And so be thou encouraged on today as you take and just rehearse or reread the lesson or go back to the book of Acts. But go back, when you go back to read the book of Acts, I want to encourage you to invite God to come in while you read your word by taking a moment and praying and acknowledging God and saying, God, open up my understanding because I want to learn more of you, and watch God open up your understanding and give you greater revelation as never before. And so in my conclusion, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you, according to Matthew chapter number 7 and verse 7. Watch God do it. We're living in a time of God's greatest manifestation of his glory and of his power and his might, being with his people as never before. Watch God do it in and through the lives of his people. Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on walking with the Lord our God and watch him bless you in a mighty and a special way. Truly, it's been a blessing being with you on today. Continue to walk in and through the power of our God and watch him bless you as never before. Until we meet again, may God's blessing and his faith continue to shine upon you and continue to rest, rule, and abide and be with you henceforth and forevermore. God bless you until we meet again. Bye-bye.